Today on Jay Sekulow Live, Twitter decides for the first time to fact check President Trump 5 months before the presidential election.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
So, folks, as Twitter faced pressure from liberals, Democrats, to somehow begin to warn people about President Trump's tweets, they decided that the tweets that they would put these first warning labels on and put get the facts about mail-in ballots is a legitimate policy dispute. So rather than kind of encouraging the free exercise of ideas, and I mean, you know, the president has tweeted on a whole host of issues. Some are policy, some are not. But to weigh into a legitimate policy dispute that there is a reason why every state doesn't use mail-in ballots. There's a reason why we don't have fully electronic voting. It has not been found to be fully secure. It has not been found to be a good fit, especially for the larger states with big populations like California, which it takes a much longer time to get their voting rolls correct, to make sure people are removed from voting rolls that may have left the state, moved out of the state. Where's a college student, especially now, when they don't even know if they're going to be going to their college campus, or are they going to be re-renting their apartment if they're not living on campus anymore? And so where is their home to get the ballot? And if that's the only option available to folks, you know, what does that cause? And it's a legitimate policy discussion. You can come down on either side. But the truth is, when the U.S. government has put together bipartisan groups to look at this issue, those bipartisan groups have said, as this is as late as 2005, so following all of the election issues that happened in the 2000 election and what was going on there and the, you know, hanging chads, all those issues, Jimmy Carter and Jim Baker were both on this bipartisan committee, and they said the most potential for abuse, potential because it's not widely enacted and it's not in the larger population states, the largest potential for abuse would be absentee ballots, paper ballots that everyone knows are going to the mailboxes. At a time when the Postal Service isn't even sure if they're going to be operating in a month, at a time when there are major delays in shipping and mail, and this doesn't seem like the solution when we don't even know exactly how dangerous the mail is. We don't know how dangerous surfaces are, if on COVID-19. And it just poses a whole host of issues. So the president, he weighs in with his opinion on a policy issue that is put into the forefront because states are talking about trying to take these actions. So he tweets, "There is no way, zero, that mail-in ballots will be anything less than substantially fraudulent. Mailboxes will be robbed, ballots will be forged, and even illegally printed out and fraudulently signed. The governor of California is sending ballots to millions of people. Anyone living in the state, no matter who they are or how they got there, will get one. They'll be followed up with professionals telling all these people, many of whom have never thought of voting before, how and for whom to vote. This will be a rigged election, no way." Now, if you see those tweets from the president, you'll see this exclamation point, Than, and it says, "Get the facts about mail-in ballots." And if you click there, it takes you to, of all places, CNN. And it says, Trump makes unsubstantiated claim that mail-in ballots will lead to voter fraud. And Than, one of the reasons unsubstantiated, and we'll get into it when we get back, is because this isn't widely enacted. Though we have absentee ballots, you have to go through a process to get those in other states. And a couple of states have done this vote by mail experiment, which is fine. You know, if they're following the rules, following the laws, that's one thing. But there's a reason why it hasn't been widely enacted.
One of the most interesting things, Jordan, is that it is in fact demonstrably true that mail-in ballots are prone to fraud. So if that's not a legitimate policy debate, then nothing is. And look, an executive at Twitter, Jordan, they're not the ones that should be arbitrating what is true and what is not.
Executive at Twitter that compared one of Donald Trump's media advisors to a Nazi. We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We're going to take your phone calls in this too as well. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. The president, who tweets often and is someone, again, who is not using 25 advisors to figure out every sentence he tweets. And, you know, if you look at Joe Biden's Twitter account, you'll see a lot of the tweets that will come out of that from Joe Biden doesn't seem like anything Joe Biden would even say. It's not even like quoting him directly. It's like what they would like him to be saying if he was able to coherently get out his message in a way that was clear. And so, again, you can decide. It's a platform for freedom of speech. Now, should terrorists be able to utilize it to recruit? No. And so Twitter will oftentimes look for groups like ISIS and try to flag those and remove those accounts that are promoting illegal or violent activity. But if you're talking about a policy debate, and this is the bizarre part of this, is Twitter decides after years of the president, when he was a candidate for office, before he was the president of the United States, and while he was president of the United States, has been utilizing Twitter as a platform that all the media outlets, they may, you know, complain about what the president says, some of them, but the truth is they love the fact that he has the kind of this unfiltered way of getting of speaking his mind. They've decided to weigh in and start putting, you know, these warning flags, flagging his tweets on policy disputes 5 months before presidential election in the United States of America. And there's so many issues with mail-in voting right now, especially one of them being that the Postal Service says that if they don't get a bailout in a month or less than a month, they may be shuttered. I don't know that that will happen. I think that, you know, usually they work things out, but that's the kind of state of the Postal Service right now. It's a very difficult time. And to make matters even tougher, you've got the COVID-19, you've got shutdowns, you've got major delays. And listen, Than, at the state and at state level, this has been done before. And you know, you say states are the laboratories, but on a very small scale and not done. I think that the issue here too, when Wisconsin looked at doing something like this and a short-term, you know, it wasn't something they planned out years in advance. It was something they did like right before an election. They said no. You know, the court said no. You can't change the rules 5 months, a month before, weeks before people actually go and vote. And I think that's the issue here too, is why are we changing? I mean, obviously you've got to respond to crises, but we're talking about November and most states are reopening even places like California with the most restrictions are starting to allow people to do more things. So you would imagine that by November, again, if you want an absentee ballot, you can request it if you don't feel comfortable going to vote. And people know how to do that, right? People who know how to vote. And it's not hard to find out how to do that. But to me, of all the times for Twitter to weigh in, this is could be chilling to the free exercise of ideas. And it's by far not the most controversial thing this president has tweeted.
No doubt about that, Jordan. I mean, I think there's an agenda behind why they weighed in at this point. Look, you zoom out a little bit, and we are blessed to have one of the best election processes in the entire world. But, Jordan, there is no serious argument to suggest that there is no fraud that happens. There is fraud, and it is demonstrably true that mail-in balloting has had a greater propensity for fraud than other forms of balloting. And, Jordan, as you pointed out, it's especially true when you talk about the larger states. You know, Utah trying to do a mail-in ballot is very different than California trying to do it. And my view has always been that these decisions are made best made closest to the people because you can secure them the best. And that's why we've never been for a federal government takeover of balloting, as Speaker Pelosi has proposed. But Jordan, for the bottom line here is that this is a legitimate debate because there's legitimate fraud that happens. And there should be more discussion, more debate about how to best secure the election. And what Twitter is trying to do here is shut that down. There has always been a need for people on both sides to put their ideas out so that states can choose the ones with the most merit. Jordan, if you push this debate behind the curtain, if you don't allow it to air, if you don't allow the real examples of fraud to be perpetuated, you know what you get? You get more fraud. No doubt about it.
Let me play this for you, and then I'll tell you who said it. Bite number four, because I wonder if I just sent this tweet out and someone flagged it and sent it to Twitter. Well, it's very similar. So, you know, am I going to get this warning label just for quoting this individual? Take a listen, Bite 4. This is from 2004.
I just, as a very experienced practical politician from New York, I feel constrained to observe that in my experience in New York, paper ballots are extremely susceptible to fraud. And at least with the old clunky voting machines that we have in New York, the deliberate fraud is way down compared to paper. When the machines break down, they vote on paper. We've had real problems.
You know, that was, you may recognize the voice. It's Jerry Nadler, Democrat, no fan of the president. Wasn't from 35 years ago or 40 years ago. It's from 2004. Can he have a change of position? I guess, but this is not, we're not talking about technological advancement. We're still talking about mail-in, you know, hard ballots, paper ballots. And he said there, I just a very practical politician from New York. I feel constrained to observe that in my experience, paper ballots are extremely susceptible to fraud. So if I tweet that out now, is that going to get you know, warning labels? I don't have as many followers as President Trump, obviously. And maybe, again, so are they going to start picking and choosing? Because they certainly, you can't have a platform like theirs and really figure out everything that's going on that you might disagree with policy-wise. I mean, a pro-life message, is that suddenly going to be something, again, that they're going to fact-check with Washington Post or CNN? And by the way, they love to pick and choose when they use Washington Post fact-checkers. You could go through a lot of things with Joe Biden, too. I think this opens up a problem. We've let this tech world, Dan, for the most part, evolve on its own, not be burdened with tons of restrictions. Understand that when you open up these places for free exercise of ideas, you will have the issues like groups like even ISIS trying to exploit that freedom and use it to their advantage. And then, you know, obviously Twitter takes action on those. That's a totally different discussion when they kind of find out about it and as much as they can kind of stay up to speed with it. But no one has come down on Twitter to say, you know, it's your fault. And because we understand what happens in the United States and this kind of liberty balance that we do with security balance.
Yeah, I mean, the idea behind the First Amendment, Jordan, when it comes to viewpoint discrimination, is that you don't allow a tech company executive or the Department of Commerce to determine what is the appropriate viewpoint. And it shouldn't matter who is saying it either, Jordan. I mean, I go back to the example you just played from Congressman Jerry Nadler. Well, what if I have the position that voting with paper is the only way to secure the election? I mean, if one is an illegitimate response, then the other one would have to be censored in the same way if you're going to do it. And Jordan, there are two things at play here. One, if they don't like the person who is speaking it, it tends to get more censorship. Or if it cuts against a narrative that they're trying to advance. And this takes me back to the very first question that you started this broadcast off. Why was it this tweet that they decided to take issue with? And Jordan, I think the proximity to the election and the direct impact on the election is what they are after. There's a narrative there, which is why they've decided to intervene at this point.
This is from the Wall Street Journal, April 10th. Quote, absentee ballots remain the largest source of potential voter fraud. That wasn't President Trump. That was, again, going to a 2005 bipartisan report of the Commission on Federal Election Reform that was chaired by former President Jimmy Carter. Okay? Quote, absentee ballots remain the largest source of potential voter fraud. Those are paper ballots. And those, you have to take an additional step. You have to go, you have to file to request one, and you have to put a reason why. Different states have different rules. I mean, I can't go through all 50, but some are easier. Some you just kind of check the box. Some are a little bit more intensive, though none are very difficult. It's not hard to get an absentee ballot in states. And if you're, again, you just go to your, and now with the internet, it's even easier because you can get all the forms online. So it's even easier than it used to be, where you had to maybe even take the step of going to like the local election board or the county election board, depending on where you live. So again, 1-800-684-3110. We'll start taking your calls when we come back from this break. There's so much to get into on this specific issue. There's even a vote buying scheme. They say that it's very difficult to detect, and that's what Congressman Nadler said as well. It makes it tougher to detect the fraud if you have any of these allegations. And they go back, they look at a Miami mayor's race in 1997. There were 36 people arrested for absentee ballot fraud. They had to rerun the election, and the results were different. Different person won the race. So there is a reason why every state hasn't adopted this. And there's especially the states with larger populations where it takes time. Even if you want to give these states a benefit of a doubt, which I think is, again, another policy issue you can have about voter rolls and how updated those are, you have to wonder, how is this going to be correct when you just start mailing all these ballots out and all you have to do is sign them and send them back? 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. The stifling of speech. Is it big tech weighing into elections? We'll talk about it when we come back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
We're going to start taking some of your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Let's hear from folks who have dealt with the issue of mail-in ballots. Washington State resident, Julie, calling in on line three. Julie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Yes. Hi, Jordan. Thanks for taking my call. I've had a couple of experiences because as a Washington resident with mail-in ballots for years. We have a governor that's a Democrat because of 750 paper ballots that were found in Seattle right after the counts were taken. And then recently, my newest mail-in ballot actually says, it says on the outside, it gives me a box to check whether I'm a Democrat, Republican, whatever. And I thought, okay, that means somebody can look at it. And if it's Republican, throw it away.
You know,
for example.
There's so many issues. And I think when you get to, again, you're starting to mark things on the outside, you're starting to, people can, their political biases, or you're almost like asking for it. And again, this is, and it brings up those issues too. Like, oh, suddenly we found 750. And we have very close elections now. If you go back into the last election cycle, President Trump had a big electoral victory. But if you look at the actual states, some of those victories, they were like outside the margin of recount. But they were still like within thousands, you know. So I mean, they would come down to, you know, decisions like Hillary Clinton not campaigning in Wisconsin, and obviously the president won a lot of states back in that election cycle that had been a long time since Republicans had been able to carry, and he did it on a very wide swath. So I'm not sure there was anything she could have done, but there were those kind of issues where you start getting to under 2,000 votes, and you could imagine how that could be the case in some of these states come this cycle, then that's when the issues start getting very suspicious. And that is why you can look at and see there have been 1,071 proven cases of voter fraud, 938 criminal convictions, 43 civil penalties, 74 diversion programs, 8 judicial findings, 8 official findings. This has been a bipartisan issue of agreement, and it's why we have not seen more states follow Washington or Utah.
Because it's harder to secure them, Jordan. I mean, look, and they can absolutely change elections. I know you wrote about specific examples of this in your recent book, but just dating back to a comment that the caller made, Jordan, one of the regular problems that really every state has is keeping their voter rolls purged. So whether there are deaths or people moving out of the state or a change of status, whatever it may be, making sure that everyone on their voter roll is actually eligible to vote. And this is true whether you're talking about mail-in ballots or not. The problem with mail-in ballots, Jordan, is that purging process becomes more difficult. And I'll just give you one very generic anecdote. I have a neighbor whose mother has been deceased for several years. She continues to receive an absentee ballot that she requested in the last election cycle before she died, even though they have tried repeatedly to get her purged from the rolls. Jordan, if you have a mail-in ballot and you receive that ballot in the mail, that person doesn't have to be there to fill it out. It makes combating that type of fraud almost impossible because the entire act of voting takes place in the privacy of the home. And by the way, the state initiated that interaction with the deceased voter. All they have to do is check the box, sign the signature, and mail it back in. That becomes very difficult to combat, especially, Jordan, if you initiate a process like that in what? How much time we have left now? 5 months before the election? It's going to be almost impossible to do.
All right, let's go back to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Kathy in Oregon on line one. Kathy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jay Sekulow, and I just want to thank you for everything that you do for us. In Oregon, Governor Brown personally implemented a new system into the Oregon DMV. When a person goes in to change their address or even renew their license, it automatically changes their affiliation. And later, they will receive a postcard in the mail, and it tells them how to change their affiliation to their choice. Unfortunately, these postcards are not going anywhere, and when people go in to change their information, they are not told what is going to happen or what's happening to their vote. So many did not receive a ballot this term. We have not had, many people even received too many ballots. And then we had people that they're getting non-resident or Democrat ballots when they're supposed to be Republican ballots. She also made an executive order for non-citizens to receive a license. And now we have a non-resident alien that's coming forward as a whistleblower who has received 6 ballots since 2016. She went to the Secretary of State and her county registrar, and they told her to vote, and they got mad at her for complaining about it. So there is mail-in fraud, and we need to stop this. And we're getting hit. We have a trifecta in our legislation right now. So we are completely Democrat-ran, and they're running us in the ground, even with the COVID.
So this is what I want people to understand, because if you don't live in a state that has tried these experiments of utilizing the mail, maybe you voted absentee before, but even now, you, unless you've got a reason, like you're totally out of the country, serving overseas, other issues, or you know you're going to be maybe gone, even because all these states that have adopted early voting, I'll tell you, I mean that's how I voted in the last presidential election. So I still went. I went through the same thing you would do on election day. You just went to a different place because they're not as many open and the lines are not as long. You still go through the normal same way you'd vote in person. And I'll tell you, it feels much more secure, because you actually have to show up, you have to be there, then in the past I've gotten an absentee ballot, and you kind of send it off, and you're like, okay, I hope this makes it, at a time when the mail service is under the most stress it's been under probably in decades because of COVID-19, and the lack of flights, the lack of the ability to transport all this. So 1-800-684-3110. We're going to keep taking your calls. When we come back, second half hour coming up, 1-800-684-3110. I mean, just to understand the significance of the issue, the chairman of the RNC, Rhonda McDaniel, she talked about this. She said, and we'll play this for you when we come back, second half hour. In LA County alone, there's an additional 1.5 million people on the voter rolls that live in the county that are of voting age. So, I mean, there you talk about the issues when you're dealing with very large cities. It can take years to get their voter rolls updated, and then they're behind by the time they do that update. Years behind. And so when you start saying, well, that everybody who's just registered, we're going to send this out to, you are going to have, as Stan pointed out, this issue of someone who continues to get a ballot for someone who may be deceased, for someone who's moved, for someone who's not at that address. How do you know where the 18, 19, 20-year-old is, and you're going to put this on their parents that they've got to figure out, or are you going to try to send to a school? We don't even know if the schools are going to be open in some of these states. In others, we know for certain they won't be, so maybe that would have been their address, but now it's not. I mean, think about the issues you're putting on people, and are you the secondary issue is, are you going to have same-day vote? Are you not going to have any same-day voting or the early voting in person? So are you going to cancel in-person voting? You can understand this is a real policy issue to discuss. It's not one that we have a ton of the reason why we have examples of wrongdoing, but not widespread, is because it hasn't been adopted widespread because of those examples of wrongdoing at the local level and state level, at the few states that have adopted. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
This is interesting. Mail-in voting, you could say, is a throwback to the dark old days of vote buying and fraud. Because of this, many countries don't allow absentee ballots for citizens living in their country, including one of those favorite of socialist Norway or Mexico. This is because of the fraud issue. And I think Estonia is the only country that's adopted fully electronic voting. I mean, these are small countries that are trying experiments out. They are not the United States. They have not had these kind of histories of long-term voting where we have a pretty secure system where we're able to detect problems. It's not about perfect. It's about as close to perfect as possible. And it doesn't mean that you can't open discussions about the use of technology. I mean, depending on where you live, you might go in person, but you're still doing it on a screen, and then the screen prints out a receipt, so there's some record. All of these issues, there's a reason why. Even in those matters, they don't just say, do boom, 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 hit the screen. There's still something that comes out, a paper, the record of the vote. I think Twitter getting involved on this issue, of all the things the president's tweeted, even before he was president of the United States, on a policy issue, a legitimate policy issue that Democrats have also been on the same side about the election fraud. We played Jerry Nadler. Here's Jerry Nadler even in further. He was, he got pushback on his position back during this committee hearing in 2004. Again, this was his response that on the problem. Let's play by five.
There's got to be a way of getting the best of our methodologies.
But in fact, the MIT studies have shown that hand-counted paper ballots are among the most reliable. And at least if there's a miscount, you can discover it. You can't discover miscounts with these machines.
Well, then maybe optical scan with paper. I want a paper trail. I want paper somewhere. But pure paper with no machines, I can show you experience which would make your head spin.
Okay. So if he's got the experiments to make my head spin, Than, I mean, I have to wonder. Twitter is taking up CNN and Washington Post opinions on what they want to pick and choose to put in their stories on voter fraud issues that have come up in places that have tried to adopt this before or issues that they've dealt with. And they're ignoring where Democrats have been on the same issue. I'd say liberal Democrats, Democrats who are arguing in favor of the president's impeachment, one of the House managers to impeach the president of the United States, was on the same side of this issue.
Well, a couple of things that are ironic, Jordan. I mean, first of all, impeachment was also just about a policy dispute, and it was about a policy dispute in the fullest authority of the president's power, which is foreign policy. But on this matter, Jordan, that soundbite you just played, that sounded to me like a debate over policy. Wasn't that a debate over policy? And there were people on both sides of it, and they were going back and forth about their various ideas. You could take either side of the position and make the argument that your side was the correct one. Jordan, that is the definition of a policy dispute, and that is what Twitter has tried to weigh in on here. The other thing I would tell you, Jordan, I think the only legitimate way that you can take the position that Twitter is taking, that the president should not engage in this debate, is if you do not believe there is any fraud that exists. If fraud exists, Jordan, there should be a bipartisan approach, a bipartisan debate over the best ways to combat that. And you've been quoting extensively from this report from Jimmy Carter and James Baker, who said vote buying schemes are far more difficult to detect when citizens vote by mail. Jordan, the only reason for not engaging that policy debate is if you think there's that not a single example of voter fraud across America, and that is just not a tenable position.
And of course, the person in charge of this for Twitter, I alluded to this, he compared a media advisor to President Trump, communication advisor to President Trump, as a Nazi, compared them to a Nazi. And this is Twitter's head of site integrity, who's put out extremely partisan comments about President Trump. Surprise, surprise. So, again, you're talking about kind of weighing into a dangerous area on these issues. We're going to take your calls when we come back on Jay Sekulow Live.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
So if you are going to have Twitter start fact-checking folks on Twitter with large who utilize their platform, but also bring in millions of people to their platform, as President Trump does, and attention on their platform. Some have even said may have saved the platform because it was becoming somewhat irrelevant until the president who began utilizing it more and more when he was running for president. And suddenly it's no longer, no one's talked about the fact that I don't know if they've turned to profit still. How do you make this a business that works, or you know, in the tech company, we see it with Facebook too. They get really large. They kind of get behind the ball a little bit, and suddenly their target market is no longer the market that's utilizing them as much, and it kind of just changes. So again, they can make business decisions that's up to them, but businesses, you know, I can't just go and decide I want to do anything I want. Now, there's rules. You know, there are rules for every business, even in a free and open country like ours, in the most conservative cities in the country. You have to open a restaurant that serves food. And we're not even talking about the days of COVID-19. Even before that, you have to follow certain rules. You have to enforce the laws. You know, if you start selling alcohol to minors, you're going to get in trouble. You're going to lose liquor licenses. That could put you out of business, possibly. There's so many different things just in that industry. So here, when you're talking about Twitter, and now people say, oh, the president's trying to come down on what they can do and regulate, I think that the truth is they are a free speech platform. That doesn't mean you can free speech does not include crimes, but it does include policy disputes. And certainly that's they love promoting their platform as this vehicle for positive social change. Part of that positive social change is, even if you come down different sides of the issues, that you can have this free and open discussion. Of all the things that Twitter and all the tweets, and they got many to choose from the president, the fact that this was the issue, I think, relates to who is in charge there. Of their head of Incite Integrity is Joel Roth. He boasts on his LinkedIn that he is in charge of developing and enforcing Twitter's rules. That would include the one that included the warning label on these tweets on mailing out ballots to everyone, regardless of they've requested, just based off voter rolls. And he's got these anti-Trump tweets. He called referred to Trump, President Trump, and his political team as, quote, actual Nazis in all caps. He said nasty things about Mitch McConnell. You know, stuff that honestly I can't read on radio because I have to follow rules, broadcast rules. The stations that we're on have to follow rules. We're not unregulated. This is now, if you go into the world of podcasts, you might get into an unregulated world. Now that's more digital. And then it's kind of up to people. Now, as those get larger and larger, you say, well, regulations will eventually probably come in. And if you're someone, you know, one of the biggest podcasts in the country, you sign on with Spotify, you're now dealing with a big business. They charge people. So if they charge people, then suddenly this becomes a different kind of issue. So I just think, again, it's a legitimate policy discussion to have. Don't take President Trump's word for it. Listen to Jerry. You know, we've played Jerry Nadler's sound bites plenty on the broadcast already today. It underscores again why this is the reaction when people say suddenly 5 months before an election, they're going to just mail people ballots. And listen to people who have dealt with it. 1-800-684-3110. Eddie's in California on line 6. Eddie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Yes, I have a question for you. My aunt, who lives here in California, is 92, and she received a ballot, a mail-in ballot, but they had changed her voter registration from Republican to Democrat, and she was furious. And we're wondering how that happened. I mean, she's been a Republican all of her life, and all of a sudden she gets something saying she's a Democrat.
Yeah, it's again, there's human error, there's technical error, but you know what the problem is? Especially when you're in the larger states like California, trying to change that is not so easy either. You know, because you've got to go through levels of bureaucracy then to re-register, put through, and you're talking about someone who's 92 years old. Again, would they be someone who should legitimately request an absentee ballot? Sure. Especially if there's a COVID-19 issue in November, yeah, that would be a reason why. I think health issue could be a reason why. You know, you mark that, okay. But the truth is, this is not what is being, that's not what's being discussed in these states. What's being discussed is, we're just going to shut it all down and send it out to registered voters. And how are these states going to stay up to speed with, you know, some of these states, you can register to vote same day. So they've enacted things like that, same day voter registration. But how would you ensure those people got in the ballots? I mean, it brings up a whole host of legal issues as well that I don't think these states have fully thought through that are talking about enacting this in such a short term, with such a short window to enact it. Back to the phones we go. Let's go to Whitney in Texas, who's dealt with absentee ballots. Whitney, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thanks so much, Jordan. Yeah, we were living in Australia during the midterm 2014 elections, and definitely wanted to vote. We knew that because we were so far and we literally had, you know, a night versus day time shift, we gave it 6 months to out when we first put in our request. And at about the 3 month point when we hadn't received an absentee ballot, we started following up regularly. We went to in person to the consulate. They said, you need to deal with the State Department. We emailed the State Department and the person that they told us to contact umpteen times, and ultimately never received a ballot. So, you know, we kind of realized that this process, our right to vote via absentee ballot, is really dependent upon a bureaucrat's facilitation of my right
to vote. It's absolutely dependent on that, especially when you're overseas and you're relying on the U.S. Postal Service, the international mail carrier, you know, the country that you're in's mail carrier, all those issues, especially right now. I mean, just look at the lack of flights that were once plentiful to even like the top destinations in the world from the biggest cities in the world, and they're down to like one. So, you know, mail gets carried on those flights, and there's a lot of issues there. So, and of course, if you send it off, if you actually do get the ballot and you send it off, then you're also, you don't get any kind of guarantee that your vote is going to be counted. Or, and there's so many rules around, did you fill it out right? Did you use the right color pen? Did you use this? Did you do it like this? And if you made an error, should that be thrown out? Remember, hanging, you know, and that's why we kind of keep it for those who, in special circumstances, for the most part then, who need to utilize something like this. And so they go and they put their request into the absentee ballot, and there's a timeline where they have to put that in. And in the larger states, I'm sure they're still dealing with millions of them. Millions. but it's not like dealing with 35 or 40 million.
Yeah, it's a much different thing to deal with a smaller pool of ballots to try to keep the propensity of fraud down. Jordan, both those last two callers really illustrated the point well of why I have said several times that the only way this works is if you keep the decision-making close to the people. Jordan, some of these smaller states that have done mail-in balloting, part of the reason that they have been successful is it's not just that they're a small state, is that they actually then delineate the decision-making and the implementation down to the county level. So if you do have a problem like Eddie was talking about or like Whitney was talking about, you literally can go down to your county official who you may know or who have interacted with to get that problem rectified. Jordan, if you pull that all the way back out and you're talking about a state the size of California dealing with, you know, maybe tens of billions of ballots and maybe millions and millions of errors, Jordan, are you ever going to be able to get someone that can rectify that situation in time for you to vote in that election? I think the odds are very low.
Again, it's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to, again, listen to folks who have this voting system, like in Oregon. Jim on line three. Jim, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yeah, thank you. Quick comment. If you get a driver's license here in our state, you're automatically enrolled as a voter. If you don't check the box when you do it properly, you're automatically checked as a Democrat. I get three ballots each year personally. I only send in the one, but for sure, if I was somebody who wanted to cheat, I could easily take those other two ballots, vote the way I want, and mail them on in.
Yeah, and to find that in a system with the population of Oregon, you would, I mean, it's again, I know that most people are not going to be doing this taking illegal action, but they might be confused. They might, I mean, especially if they're not a state that's put this in place over multi-years, but instead has decided to do it within months. Why did I get this? Do I need to, maybe I need to send in another one. Maybe this means mine, I messed up. Maybe it means I need to redo it. And we all know, you call the government for help. You might get a good person, you might not. You might never get anyone answering the phone. It's the DMV experience, as we talked about. 1-800-684-3110. We come back, take even more of your calls on Jay Sekulow Live. Personally, I think this is where it starts getting very dangerous for companies like Twitter who have these free speech platforms. This is what Twitter is really all about. It's making statements, short statements. And if they start picking and choosing what policy issues and in what reporter they want to choose, very dangerous for free speech.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
800-684-3110. Let me read this to you. Quote, votes cast by mail are less likely to be counted, more likely to be compromised, and more likely to be contested than those cast in a voting booth. Statistics show. This is the headline. As more vote by mail, faulty ballots could impact elections. New York Times, 2012. New York Times, 2012. So the president's position, which is the same, gets flagged by Twitter. We're going to go right to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Stephanie in Colorado on line 4. Stephanie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jordan. Thanks for taking my call. This is a very odd situation. My husband and I have been voting by mail for years just because of the simplicity and never considered the fraud element. How can we cancel the mail-in ballot and make sure that, I mean, we want to go to the polls and vote and do it so that our vote is not negated. So is there a way that we can cancel the mail-in ballot?
There are. So this is the issue. If it's and this is why when you make a comment like this as the governor of a state the size of California, or in your state, if it's Colorado, wherever, when you make these statements, then you really have to have a full-fledged way of how you're going to go about this. I don't think that's possible 5 months before an election to make it clear to folks, because it takes time to educate voters, and they deserve that time. So that they understand if you're going to change the rules of the game, you're going to change the system, is there, if I don't send it back, can I still go on election day? Is there going to still be in-person early voting? Or is it because of COVID-19, you're not going to allow any of that, and it's all going to be paper, so that's my only option? All of those issues, I'm not saying they can't come up with where they're going to be on that, but it opens that door to extreme confusion.
And the best plan would always be to change your plan for the next cycle, Jordan. You never want to change it for the cycle that you're in, because you're just bound to get what we saw in the Iowa caucuses, to be quite honest with you. You're going to get something that blows up in your face. And look, just to address the caller's question, this is going to vary state by state, but I actually think this plays directly into it, because if a state has a certain apparatus where you have a choice on how to vote, Jordan, there are going to be rolling deadlines for those voters to change the way that they vote. Well, we're going to be in between those deadlines if a state like California decides just to pull the plug on some of those options. And Jordan, you're going to get a long list of voters who think that they are set up to vote one day and the state's going to pull the plug on that option to vote. Those are the voters that are going to be most likely to be disenfranchised come this November.
Let's go back to the phones. Kathy in Maryland on line 5. Kathy, thanks for holding on. You're on the air.
Hi. I have just a couple comments, mainly about the post office. We mailed federal tax forms from Florida March 10th. And paper forms.
Yep.
And we cannot get any information on them whatsoever. And my sister did hers electronically and got it in 2 days.
Right.
So who is counting? There's no one working there. So you're not going to get your refund because there's no one counting. Who's going to count the votes?
Well, this is the other issue. I mean, this is the time when these, snail mail, which I think has a place. I'm not saying it doesn't have a place, and it can be run effectively, and that people there aren't working hard through a tough time, because they are, and they don't have sometimes a lot of resources. But it's even less likely, it's less reliable than it ever has been because of those strains. And again, this is what this brings up the problems, is that if you can't rely on it for your standard tax filing. And that brings up issues where you're not even sure. And that's the other issue. How do you even make sure this ever got to where it needed to go? And I'm not just talking about tracking. I'm saying actually got counted. It just brings up a whole host of issues. And I think you're hearing it from folks who are dealing with it in real time, in real issues. Carrie in Colorado online too. Carrie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Oh, thank you, Durham, for taking my call. My question is, I do the mail-in voting. I get the ballot, and I physically put it in a box right outside the polling place.
Yeah.
Is there a way for me to actually go back and see what my vote actually was in the last few elections that we've done this with?
Unlikely. I don't know all the the laws and the rules around Colorado. For instance, I don't know if maybe there's I have no idea if there's a system to go see if it was counted. I doubt that it would tell you because of the privacy issues with voting. I mean, Than, that's why we have this issue where we are not anonymous in the sense that we have to go and vote or request the form, but how we vote is supposed to be, ultimately.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Sorry, Jordan. Yeah, it's supposed to be private, but I do actually think Kerry brings up a very good point because you've done this before. I mean, a lot of this is on campaigns to organize and make sure that they have election officials at polling places mm-hmm. to make sure that balloting is fair, to make sure that people have privacy, and to make sure that people that are eligible to vote get to vote. Jordan, that is going to be a much more difficult hurdle for campaigns to engage in a system where they have the incentive to help secure our election. Jordan, that's a challenge that I'm not sure. Well, I won't even say I'm not sure. A campaign, whether it's Donald Trump's or Joe Biden's, Jordan, they are not going to be able to do that in a 5-month period either.
No, absolutely not. I mean, just putting together potentially those election day folks, you can imagine the heavy lift that is in states, in the larger states, in every state, because there's so many polling locations. This takes it to a whole nother level. Let's take Pat in California, final call of the day. Pat, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jordan. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to let you know that the last time we voted in California, I was sent a mail-in ballot I did not request. I've lived at the same address for 28 years,
yep.
So there was no reason for it. I called and said, you know, what's the big idea? They gave me some reason linked to the DMV. I don't know what they were saying. I never set foot at the DMV. I do everything by mail. There is no reason why the DMV should be involved with this. I refused to vote by mail. I walked it in.
Well, I think that this is the issue again, of and that's on the smaller scale. You know, you did the right thing. You're not sure why you got this. I didn't put this request in. Why did it come to my door? Was it? And most people will do the right thing, but not everyone. And other people can be influenced. It also, if you just say it's going to happen this way, it's not like you're dealing with these on the smaller issue of whether maybe an absentee ballot in this house and one to this house, but literally 4 ballots to this house and 6 ballots to this house because there's this people at the address. And probably the people who lived there before, you get ones for them too, especially if you haven't lived there for 20-plus years. If you're still getting folks who may have lived in your house before you're there, mail, then you'll probably get ballots too. So that takes time. That takes at least a few years, oftentimes, for the Postal Service to completely get that taken care of. And that's not election rolls, which are even more massive. And so people are not necessarily taking the action on their own to put in the information, or there may not be that option. But, you know, if they've moved to a different state, they would just register there, and they're not going to vote in the other state. They're necessarily doing something wrong, but those ballots are still going out. There's so much to talk about here on just this one issue. You can understand why Twitter had no place getting involved here, picking and choosing which New York Times article. And I think that they've probably opened a Pandora's box. We'll talk about this, other issues as well, tomorrow on Jay Sekulow Live.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.